You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Ohio Business Machines, OBM, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. Joining us now to give his perspective on everything going on with the Browns from the Associated Press is Tom Withers. And Tom, our first hour of this show was nothing but Johnny Manziel.
We skipped over the head coach's comments to talk about Johnny for an hour.
Replay him.
without even wanting to.
Yes, yeah. Nonstop. So why is this such a big story?
Well, first of all, the big story of the day is that Eastlake North versus Westlake was chosen as the Browns' high school game of the week. So I got to get a little plug out there for Demon Nation.
There you go.
I see
that.
I'm in Westlake now.
Kicks for their team. So yeah, big opener tomorrow night. But this is a big story, guys, because number one, it's Johnny Manziel. Number two, he's still a quarterback that the Browns want to find out if he can be their franchise quarterback for the future. Number three, this story has been trending from a non-story to a bigger story all week. We've gone from the team not being concerned about his elbow to being concerned from there being not an MRI needed to an MRI taken from this is not a chronic injury to he's had it since high school. So this thing has been trending to becoming a bigger story. Now, you know, we're not going to make too much of it. And what we've been told, and I know what you guys have been told, is that they're really not that worried about it, that rest should alleviate this problem. But we'll see.
So how does a team, you know, with aspirations to improve upon a 7-9 year, at this point in the preseason, they've now broken camp. They're getting into the norm of the regular season schedule, working Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This week obviously bumped up because of a Saturday football game. How does a team that needs to really grind it out and focus on the tasks at hand put this out of their head, because it's a story and it's and Johnny Manziel consumed this team and organization last year? You're getting right back into it for a guy that won't see the field.
You're right. Well, Matt, you know better than I do. I think teams do a better job of shutting this kind of stuff down than we do as the media in feeding this beast. I think Coach Petten, does a terrific job in communicating with us. I think sometimes to a fault, though, because I think if I were the head coach of this team, I would make one comment about Johnny Manziel and then just shut it down. Because Mike, and God bless him, because he answers everybody's questions, be they good or bad, you know, continues to support the kid, and I understand that. Because, you know, Johnny is an intriguing player, he's a big personality, and you know he's going to be a storyline as long as he's wearing
brown
and
orange. But is he really anymore?
Yeah,
you know, I know he'll always. And we had a caller say, you know, that they wanted to hear Nathan stop referencing what he accomplished back at Texas A&M to legitimize, you know, how tough he was and so on and so forth. But at one point, at any point in his career, is he ever just going to be a guy that you have high hopes for that didn't make it?
Very possible. I mean, that's what we're not going to know. And I think that's the shame of this week, guys, is that we're not going to see him on the field against Tampa Bay's potentially starting defense. And we're not going to see if what we have seen with our own eyes since OTAs, since minicamp, since the scrimmage in Columbus, since the game against, who was it, the Redskins, the first game, and then last week, we have seen steady growth from this kid that we had hoped we had seen, we would hope we had seen last year, and we didn't. But we've seen development. We've seen progress, which is why I think the Browns are holding out hope that this kid could help them in the long term.
And that, again, we're talking about somebody not expected to play week one, week two, probably at all if Josh McCown plays well and this team does what, you know, in many ways it was designed to do. You don't bring in Randy Starks, Tremont Williams, Dwayne Bowe, et cetera, if you're saying we're just going to go 0-8 and then throw Johnny in there.
No, you're trying to win.
You're trying to win.
And you're trying to build off of 7-4, not 7-9.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Tom Withers, our guest from the Associated Press. All right. What are you looking forward to the most in this Tampa Bay game?
You know, I'll tell you what, seeing this offense on the field together for the first time, seeing Dwayne Bowe out there, seeing him running routes, seeing Duke Johnson get the ball. I think there's so many unanswered questions very late in preseason that we thought we would hope to have answered by this point. They haven't been answered. Dwayne Bowe's out there for the first time this week. Duke Johnson's out there for the first time this week. I'd like to see that offense really get some momentum created in the first half. I'd like to see McCown. You know, I have no worries about McCown being able to, you know, organize the team and get the right play in and getting this offense moving. But you just want to see him make some connections downfield. You want to see this running game get going. You want to see this offensive line put something together. They've had a couple of tough games right out the gate. So, you know, that's what I would like. That's my biggest focus is the offense this week.
I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things I've been saying is when you look across this line, you look at the investment made in this line, you look at how good this line's supposed to be.
Yeah.
They have not been good the first two games. And if this line isn't the backbone of this offense, the Browns are going to be in big trouble.
1,000% right, Nathan. I thought it was interesting yesterday we got a chance to talk to John Greco, who's one of the more likable guys in the locker room. He's a terrific guy. And I was impressed to hear him talk about Josh McCown being the sixth offensive lineman on this team. The fact that he has got this offense so down that when he goes to the line, he's calling out the mic, he's making all the checks and all the same reads that Alex Mack is making. And John said he doesn't even know if Josh realizes it or not, that subconsciously he's saying all these things out loud. So you can tell that the guy's mind is working 1,000 miles an hour. I just want to see this offense so move the chains early on. I think that's be a big thing to look for Saturday night.
Does the opponent for the Cleveland Browns really matter in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers moving forward? Because I thought the performance they put together Monday night made the Bengals look really, really bad with many steps. I thought Jameis looked good, but I thought what was intriguing for us to kind of bring everything full circle from an offensive standpoint is they look like a rejuvenated defense over there. Very skilled. You know, they've got the linebackers that can run. Gerald McCoy looked great. Larry English, a guy, you know, I played with in San Diego, had a sack and looks to be performing finally at this point in his career. So does it matter that it's the Buccaneers, and what type of Buccaneers team will we see and actually use as a kind of a gauge or litmus test for these Browns?
Yeah, this is a pretty good team, and I agree with you, Matt. You know, coaches always talk about we need to worry about ourselves.
Yeah.
But this is also a week, too, where you're game planning for the first time.
Yes.
So this is a chance for this, you know, the new offensive coordinator and the offensive coaches to really formulate a game plan to let's see with the weapons that we have. And as I mentioned earlier, at least they're finally going to have everybody on the field to see what they can do. So I think the opponent does matter this week. And I think you're right. Seeing what they did against the Bengals team probably opened up some eyes for these Browns.
It did. Those Buccaneers led by Gerald McCoy up front have some talent on that defensive side of the ball. And I think we all want to see the offense. For the defense, what are you looking for from the Browns against Tampa?
You know, I'm still intrigued by the defensive line rotation. And, you know, I saw some interesting things last week where they're putting some different guys and some different packages out there together. So
they
still need to find a way to get to the quarterback. And they need to find that one guy. And I'm not sure who it is, whether it's Paul Kruger or Mingo when he comes back, or if it's Nate Orchard, or if it might be Danny Shelton inside. I want to find that guy that they can count on to put in pressure on the quarterback play after play.
And I'll ask you that question because you mentioned the packages, and I always, you know, being the X's and O's guys, I feel like we have, at some point, we were good at a lot of things and not great at anything because we're asking guys to retain so much information with so many different packages. You're asking guys, you know, to stand out for five plays, come in for one play in a package change, like a Kirksey guy. I've stood on the sideline for the first four plays of a defensive series, then I come in for two, then I'm out for four, then I'm back in for one. So sometimes it's good to have, these are my 11 starters.
Yeah.
These are the guys that are going to play a chunk of my defensive reps.
Well, let me ask you this, Matt. Isn't that usually the case, though, in preseasons where they're throwing a lot of things out there to see what works best, and then maybe as you get to game three and four, you might kind of dummy it down a little bit?
Yeah, well, yes and no, because, you know, I started, you know, on CBD in October, and the one thing from tuning into the Browns and watching them every week and being so into this defense and wanting to sit in on those meetings is like, man, we're lining up guys everywhere, and it's a different number at a different position almost every play, which can work to your advantage. But as I said, when you do a lot of things, you can be good at them. But when you taper that down, as you said, via game plan, and just get really great at playing your positions, that's something that I want to see the Browns do. And again, I believe they have a great opportunity with Doug Martin, who looks rejuvenated there in Tampa Bay, and there's going to be hype centered around Jameis, you know, back there at Raymond James Stadium again. So it's an opportunity with the big wide receivers. So it's an intriguing matchup for this defense as a whole.
Unfortunately, you know, we got Joe Hayden back this week.
Yep.
Tayshaun Gibson's back on the field. So
Pierre
Desir's back on the field. So at least, again, this team is going to finally have a chance to look at what it really has.
And you want to see what you have on D because that we talked about the offensive line being the backbone of the offense. The D is the backbone of this team.
The team, no
That's
question
the reason
about it.
You're going to win games there. Who are some people that you think might be on the bubble that would maybe surprise the average listener?
I don't know about surprises. I mean, let's get back to Terrell Pryor since we haven't talked about him yet. I mean, there's the guy who's been the most intriguing story in training camp, and he's finally out there. The last 2 days he's looked good in the time that we've been out there in practice running routes, but it's a whole different world when you get out there in game speed. He's going to have to test that hamstring again. It's going to be warm weather down there, which is probably a good thing for him. Should allow him to loosen up pretty well. But we want to see Terrell Pryor go over the middle, make a catch, make a play. I still feel that this team is devoid of playmakers, and that's why this guy is here. So we need to find out immediately if he can be an answer for them on this 53-man roster.
So you, what if you had to give a percentage at this point right now, knowing that he's going to go into the Tampa Bay game healthy, be able to participate with any number of reps, and I'm sure he'll be on some type of pitch count, what percentage do you think he makes his football team?
I still think he's like up 70 to 80%, to be honest with you. I don't think they would have signed him. And knowing that DeFilippo knew this kid as well as he did, and in knowing the issues they could have in terms of guys scoring, in terms of what they need to do in the red zone, in terms of the potential that this kid creates on two-point conversions and some other things, his versatility on the roster, whether you make him a fourth quarterback or a third quarterback or a fourth tight end or a sixth wide receiver. I mean, he's that good. I mean, he's that physical of a specimen that he's an intriguing player. So I still put the percentages very high because I don't think Ray Farmer goes out there and even tries to do this without the sense that this might work.
So that being said, you know, with Terrell Pryor on with such a high percentage, have you personally put together your own custom 53-man roster of who makes it and who doesn't?
It's kind of a game we have down in the media room downstairs. We always have kind of a running bet and who can ever come up with the right or the closest to the 53. And yeah, he's one of those guys. Vince Maley's another guy.
Can they both make the team?
That's going to be interesting. I don't know that. And then you wonder about what they're going to do with guys like Shane Wynn, who's flashed to this point, who also, by the way, was playing safety earlier this week. You know, Travis Benjamin to me has made huge strides.
Yeah,
in
he's
camp.
Gonna make the team.
Oh, he absolutely is. But he was a guy that I thought was a bubble guy,
sure,
to begin camp, right?
Yep.
You know, on the defensive side, you know, there's a couple of guys that I always look at. You know, it sounds now that Mingo, it sounds like Mingo is gonna be back and is maybe as early as the opener. So, but he was a guy that, not that I was worried about him getting cut, but I just wondered what his future was with this team. And then, you know, there's some interesting guys on that defensive line. You know, a kid like Jamie Meter, who played well last year late in the season and who was really flashed during camp. You know, what do you do with a guy like that? And then back on the offensive side, you got guys like this kid Lenz who flashes every once in a while. Can you put him on the practice squad? And who else can you hide there? You
know, I think Meter's going to make it.
I do too. It's sounding that way. And I tell you what, every time Mike Pettine brings his name up,
smiles.
His eyes get bigger too. Yeah. So he's a kid that they really like.
But the thing that's amazing about it, you look at the defensive line, if Meter makes it, you know, the guys that are for sure making it, right, would be Shelton Cooper, who you drafted, Dez Bryant Starks, that's four, John Hughes, who you signed to the big deal, you know, Armani, if you're counting him as a defensive lineman, Meter, I think, is going to make it. So where's Phil Taylor?
Where's
Billy Wynn? Where's Ismaili Kitchen?
Yeah, three good players there. All guys who could play in this league and might get cut. And Mike, if you saw or you heard, Mike Pettine said that the other day, so did Jim O'Neill, that there may be two or three guys that they have to cut from this team who are going to play in this league.
Correct.
You know what?
Yeah,
that's
I heard that as well.
That's a good thing for the Browns, though, when you've got that kind of depth and talent.
It's a big difference from where this team has been in years past. Tom, we appreciate the
good
time.
Seeing
I'm
you
sure
guys. Thank you.
You have plenty of stuff going down there as this team. It was dull for a while here, but it
never
is
dull
it
in
is,
Berea.
It is not
ever.
Dull right now in Berea. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. You can follow him on Twitter and get his great content at TWithersAP. When we come back, maybe we'll hear from Coach Pettine, or maybe we'll continue to talk with all of you about Johnny's elbow. I don't know. 216-578-0850 Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.